Hey there, it's your happy Asian woman host, Alice Chen. Do you know any teens who are feeling overwhelmed with the college admissions process? If so, send them my way. I run Bright Story Admission Consulting, a boutique company that focuses on college application essays. A little about me. I'm a Stanford grad, a professional journalist, and I also coach other essay coaches. I love teaching people how to write, and I'm so thrilled when my students get into schools that they love, like Stanford, MIT, and the UCs. Learn more about my company at brightstory.info. Welcome to Happy Asian Woman, a show to help Asian American women find more joy in love, work, and life. I'm your host, Alice Chen, a professional journalist and entrepreneur. I've also been married for almost 15 years, and I'm the mother of two young girls. If you want to build more community, come join our supportive Facebook group. The link's on my website, www.happyasianwoman.com. Thanks for joining us. If you missed part one, be sure to listen in as we talked about the definition of Christian mindfulness, whether it's a legitimate practice for Christians, and its impact on our brains. Dr. Regina Chow Trammell also shared a great exercise she used to help Asian Christian women in a support group she recently led. Now for part two. What are some other of your favorite mindfulness exercises that might be pertinent to women's issues that we've been talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as women, we're very busy. And so even sometimes stealing away some time to just be quiet is really difficult. So one thing that I really like that, again, that's kind of related to our Asian heritage is, and it's kind of unpacked in my book, is a tea drinking exercise. So taking a afternoon tea break, but really drinking that tea very intentionally and mindfully. So I get some really great tea. It smells good. Even if it's hot outside, you know, it's good. It's good for us to drink warm liquid. So the boiling of the water, the pouring of the tea leaves, and then holding my mug, right? And just smelling that, the fragrance and the aromas and allowing that to be kind of a Christian mindfulness practice of like, you know, God's presence, you know, God says, you know, we are Christ's aroma. And so how do we breathe that in? And I picture God holding the mug of tea, just as I'm holding the mug of tea. It's almost like his arms around me for this kind of special mindful moment. And I ingest the tea as if ingesting grace. God's grace is a gift to me. And how do I taste this tea? Notice it go down my esophagus, down to my belly, and feel the warmth of that liquid in my belly. It takes a couple minutes. And people who know me, especially if I'm in the classroom, I always have a mug with me. And so what people don't understand or don't know from the outside is if I'm nervous or I'm, you know, I'm speaking to a larger crowd or I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say, I just kind of practice all that tea thing that I just described really quickly. And that gets my mind out of my stress. And it helps me, again, focus on, okay, I'm loved, I've got grace, and now how can I give out, right? How can I pour out to others in this moment? So I don't do it perfectly, but when I do it, it's really rich and really, I don't know, just a nice pause. I know some people who put timers in their phones, maybe, you know, at those stressful moments of their day, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., maybe 6 p.m., and just for a minute, you know, do something really nurturing. Maybe it's lighting a candle. You know, for busy women, I think even in the midst of a mundane task, you know, this is what the monastics do. They sweep the floor. And when they sweep the floor, they're doing it mindfully, like, you know, noticing what is happening when you sweep the floor, when you're washing the dishes, feeling the cool water, or you're in the shower, taking a pause, just showering when you're showering, just drinking. Kabat-Zinn says that all the time, which is, or Thich Nhat Hanh, these are, again, more secular Buddhist mindfulness practitioners, but they say stuff like, if you're walking, just walk. If you're eating, just eat. Don't try to do 3 million things at once. Give yourself that time just to be present in that and invite God into it. Mm-hmm. Okay, God, how can this be a nurturing part of my day? Mm-hmm. I need you.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like your tea practice was a creative thing that you came up with for yourself. So part of it is actually having the creativity to see how to picture God in your daily rituals and things like that, and invite him in and think of analogies and things like that. Is that sort of what you're saying? Or
I love how you said that, Alice. It is, it's personalizing it. It's taking the intention, right? What's the intention behind it and giving that to God? That's a very Christian mindfulness practice. Anytime you're about to do something, God, my intention is to feel less stressed. Can you help me? Let me go ahead and get myself a glass of water, you know, personalizing it, right? Being creative. What I'm doing might not work for someone else. Some folks, some of your listeners, Alice, might be terrific artists. What would it be like to take pen and paper or paint on canvas and do that very mindfully? Or whatever the day is, clicking on a keyboard. How can you click on a keyboard mindfully? That doesn't sound as fun.
I know. That's hilarious. So yeah, I like the creativity and the imagery and everything that you came up with. So that's a great idea. Loved it. Any other favorite exercises, like your go-tos or seem to work well for your clients?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really what I talk a lot about with my clients these days is, I don't know if it's just a general mood, is sometimes, especially for us as women, we have a lot of negative narratives, kind of self-defeating narratives.
Yes.
So I think part of mindfulness is really observing when we have those narratives, which is, you know, I can't. They usually start with I can't, or I don't have hope, or I won't ever be able to. So I think observing, being aware of that, and then that non-judgmental piece is really important, because then we start doing the opposite, which is, oh, I shouldn't think that. But then I think that. So it becomes this war almost. Yeah. I would just encourage everyone to take a step back and just observe. Okay, here's where my mind's going. How can I interrupt without having to should myself to death, right? Like should all over myself as a punny way of thinking about it. Like, and challenge these negative narratives. What is a piece of you that you've seen and are aware of that is capable, that has done a good job? Did you shower in the morning? That's terrific. Some days, you know, it's not, that's not an easy feat these days in the midst of doing 10 million things. So I think that other piece is really trying to bring that practice cognitively, mind, body, and soul, right? Where does it feel tight in your body when you're saying these negative things about yourself? Okay. How can you breathe into that space? You know, just as we do in yoga practice, right? We send our breath and send the oxygen to those tight places. And then think about the same way in your mind. There's some tight loops, thought loops that we notice. How can we use our breath? How can we use our soul, right? How can we ask God to enter in to expand that, so we're not caught in those tight loops that really aren't true? And really aren't wise, and really are just emotion that really don't have a lot of meaning.
That sounds fascinating. Great ideas. And what about the soul piece? So you talked about the mind piece, breathing in the body, and any mindfulness for the soul.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for that prompt. I think definitely, you know, my favorite practice is not to go to God in frantic prayer. Which is, God, I need this and I need this and please do this and please, right? Like we could do that.
I know that.
Exactly. And it feels like you're talking to a wall, but that's not the reality. I would just say, start the prayer, like take a few, 3 deep breaths. God, I don't even know what I need right now. I just know I'm caught in this emotional thought loop, and God, what do I need? How can I hear from you? What should my prayer be? What should I be praying about? What, God, I don't even know what I need. You know, the number of hairs on my head, you know me better than myself.
Yeah.
So I invite you, God. I know you always want to be with me. Mm-hmm. Please speak to me. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. And then listen. Mm-hmm. I promise God will meet you there. I really do. He always does.
That is like so deep. I love it. I wanted to ask one quick thing too. You had the title of your book is A Counselor's Guide to Christian Mindfulness, Engaging the Mind, Body, and Soul in Biblical Practices. So we've talked about every aspect of that, but then you also say in therapies, is there like a Christian mindfulness in therapy? Like, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So, you know, therapy right now is really, I think, expanded beyond just the cognitive. So in the 80s and 90s, maybe even the early 2000s, cognitive behavioral therapy, still around, I think it's can be helpful, but it misses that body piece. And so there's something called third wave therapies right now, which is dialectical behavioral therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, mindfulness-based cognitive therapies. All these therapies incorporate mindfulness into those therapies. And what I'm suggesting for folks who want to come from a Christian frame, and I think my book's going to be a terrific manual for you. There's also going to be an audio version. So what I love about that, I just found that out a couple of weeks ago, is that I have a lot of scripts and practices that you can listen to.
Wow.
And that you can follow. And so encourage you to pick that copy up for yourself and for anyone who wants to work on these skills. But those practices can be incorporated into those therapies, because usually therapists will then reach for the secular or the Buddhist, but we can also reach, if you're Christians and you want to reach for that, it's there, then we should reach for the Christian mindfulness practice and incorporate it into those therapies. Very easy to do. Very easy to do. In fact, the clients I see prefer that because of their faith.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm so excited to read about it. So, and I hope you're recording the audio too, because you have a great voice.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
I love it. Okay. Do you have any tips for quieting your mind if you have a hard time slowing down? I feel like in our hyper-connected world, I think mindfulness is great, but I think one of the biggest barriers is even getting to that spot where you can quiet down and do some of these things.
Yeah. In fact, I love that question, Alice, because I think what happens is, just as I talked about a loop, I think busyness and stress is a bit of an addictive process.
Sorry, you broke up. What in stress is addictive?
Oh, busyness.
Oh, yes.
And stress. Yeah. And so, you know, the first tip would be to start taking care of your body, you know, to make sure that you're not, you know, I'm not against social media. I use it as a tool, but I do have to take intentional breaks from it, because research shows it does cause anxiety. It causes depression. It is it's a negative intervention towards that inability to quiet your mind, right? Because we all have the capability.
Yeah.
Just there's things that prevent us from our natural tendencies, our natural ways of thinking and doing. So if you think about it this way, right, your body is in sync with your mind and your soul. So you just have to, if your mind isn't able to do it, then use the body, use the soul. It will, it syncs. If we believe we're integrated, these aren't different parts of us, right? Mind, body, soul.
Yeah.
Right. So if your thoughts are in a loop, you can't stop it. Go to the body, go to the soul. Same thing the other way. If you've noticed, and all you listeners too, you might not notice what you're feeling, but your body's registering. Your pulse is high, right? Your your pulse, your heart rate variability, which is kind of a measure of emotional regulation, is low. And so you may not actually be feeling anxiety, but your hair is falling out, your skin is breaking out, right? There's something happening.
Yeah.
So again, being aware, where is my body at? Where is my mind at? Where is my soul at? If I can't get out of the thought loop, I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea. I'm going to step outside. I'm going to get off social media for a few days and see if that helps bring the temperature down in my mind so that I can start begin doing these mindfulness practices.
Great ideas. I never thought about that, but you're so right that we are integrated and it does help to maybe do something physically.
Yes. Yoga's great.
Yeah.
Fellow yogi.
That's great. And you mentioned that you did research on Christian mindfulness. What have been some of your findings, and has anything surprised you?
Yeah, thanks. So I've have some modules that are audio based. And so what I've done is look at, you know, how do people respond before and after these modules? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just through, you know, kind of comparison groups, people who've done the practices, people who don't do the practices, and looking at things like a stress scale, mm-hmm. mindfulness scale, and seeing the differences. So obviously after a few weeks, so generally kind of the dosage, I would say, of a mindfulness practice, if you could do it once or twice a week, mm-hmm. You can start with 5 minutes, build up to 10 minutes. If you could get to 20 minutes, even better.
Yeah.
And that dosage really in research helps. So for a good month, I've done a study where it's been 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Generally, people take a week off or two in the middle. So I would say about 4 weeks of it. Mm-hmm. You really get to see the benefits of mindfulness, decreased stress, increased heart rate variability, which is again that sign of emotional regulation, being able to help calm, even be happy, mm-hmm. And then improved mindfulness, which is awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Improved awareness. So those are the results. They're statistically significant. Yeah. There's good qualitative data where people really feel the benefits, say that they are sleeping better, their insomnia has gone down, stress has improved, that sort of stuff. So
that's amazing. That's great. And are there any other resources that you like for Christian mindfulness?
Yeah, you know, it's really wonderful, especially here in Southern California, I think, because through the health department, I think they're giving... They've been able to, I think LA County resident can get that Headspace app for free.
Oh.
So some of those practices I think can be really helpful. I will say here's the caveat. I think, you know, as just being aware of being an Asian woman, I think sometimes we get very individualistic mm-hmm. about, you know, our self-care or what we can do. So I think one of my favorite tips is to do it with someone, have a mindfulness buddy, mm-hmm. you know, that you can share your results with, share the practices, talk mm-hmm. it through. Maybe they have some creative tips, right? Like I shared the tea drinking practice. Maybe, you know, someone else has something great that they've used. And, you know, with a buddy, you tend to grow in your skills and, Calm app, Headspace app, obviously my book. I'll just keep plugging that.
And you have to do a Christian mindfulness app. Like, because these ones that you're recommending aren't Christian, right?
Right. They are not Christian.
The market is that would be great. Open.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Great tip, Alice. Maybe we should do a happy Asian woman collab on that. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be
how
so
to stay
fun.
Happy.
That would be so fun. Yeah. I love all of your ideas. That's a great idea too, about having a partner. Just when you were saying that, I was like, I should try it with my kids.
Yes.
Because it's like a great thing to get them doing at a young age. I feel like even children these days are so, you know, there's so much going on with lack of school or structure and things like that, all the uncertainty. So it's great to teach our young people.
Absolutely. They're fantastic. They'll naturally get it.
I'm sure they'll come up with some great ideas too. Yep. So any other questions you thought I should have asked or anything else you wanted to say?
No, I would just say, you know, I think I just want to end with, you know, I think for your audience and this, what you're doing to serve the community is terrific. And I think for us in terms of happiness, it's really, right, being able to quiet our minds, quiet our bodies, quiet our souls. And I would just say, you know, I think for us is sometimes we're brought up to be very overachieving. Mm. And if there's anything that I think we've hopefully learned is that life can be unpredictable.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, making sure that you factor yourself in to understand the beauty of your outside and your inside and to really work on that, you know, to learn what it means to be a happy Asian woman. I think that's going to be key for reentry, right? Reentering in this from the pandemic, being mindful, being intentional of what do I want my life to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, what are some changes I can make step by step? It doesn't have to be big, but maybe incorporating some of these practices into your daily life and giving God space to speak and you know, giving yourself space to listen. Mm-hmm. So you're not crowded, right, with different thoughts and no direction.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, I have to say you have a reputation for a lot of wisdom. So I'm so happy that you're able to share with us about everything. And how can listeners find you or follow your work and get the book and things like that? How can they connect?
Well, thanks for being such a champion for me and for others. And you can definitely follow me on Instagram. I do post stuff on mindfulness, stuff on therapy, and also stuff on being an Asian woman right in this moment. So that's Regina_Chow, Chow_Trammell, Trammell. And you can find me on Instagram.
Okay, great. And then when you do your app, we'll have you back.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Regina. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Alice. Okay. Good luck with everything. It's so great to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with a few friends. I have a dream to build up a strong community of Asian women, and I think the best way to do that is through word of mouth. Also, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be awesome. Finally, come join our community on Facebook where we discuss these episodes and how to incorporate happiness into our everyday lives. Thanks and have a great week!